Thank you for coming, and thank you for understanding for the need to delay this press briefing from 12 o'clock today. You will have seen our announcement earlier that we have an additional 3 confirmed cases. This means that we now have 5 confirmed cases. The Health Minister can tell you a little bit more about these cases and will be able to share the latest statistics with you regarding the number of tests conducted and also the work of our COVID 111 line. So over to David.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Starting first with the COVID 111 line. In the first 2 days of operations, the line has taken 1,095 calls, and as a result, 155 people have been referred for testing. Testing results so far via the mobile testing facility has seen 145 tests completed to date, and we are now awaiting in total back the outcome of 150 tests. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all of those dedicated staff that are continuing their absolutely sterling job of manning both the testing centre and the COVID 111 line. They, along with all the other health workers across the island, they are the front line of our response, and I can't thank them enough for their commitment at this very difficult time. Turning now to the 3 cases that you have already heard have been identified today. That gives a total, as the Chief Minister said, of 5 cases now confirmed. All of the 3 cases are self-isolating, none of them in a hospital setting, and the back tracing on all 3 cases has begun. 2 of those cases have travel history, very similar to the previous 2 cases, but crucially, 1 of the 3 cases has no travel history, and therefore it means it has been contracted somewhere in the community. This now makes it absolutely essential that we all follow the advice of self-isolation and social distancing. This advice is not there for the sake of it. It is there to protect you, your family, all your loved ones, and your community at large. This community, the case today, fundamentally changes the situation, and I cannot stress enough how serious it is that people follow the public health advice that is out there. Thank you, Chief Minister.
And thank you very much, David. Now, as you can see, this situation is changing all the time, and the understanding of how this pandemic is moving through society is also changing. We are working closely with our partners across in the UK who are sharing their latest information. And obviously I have with me today the Ministers of Health and Education, who will be able to answer your questions after I've made my statement. I've always said that we would make the decisions when we judged the moment was right. I have chaired a number of meetings this morning, including an emergency meeting of the Council of Ministers this afternoon. And in light of the evolving situation, we have agreed that it is now the moment to move to the next stage of our plan. The Council of Ministers have today agreed that schools should close for most children from the end of school day tomorrow, Monday the 23rd of March. The Department of Education has been working with school leaders to establish how we will provide a safe environment for the children of key workers and vulnerable children. The Minister can tell you more about that shortly. Before I hand over to him, I would like to say for the record that I'm grateful for the engagement from the teaching leadership group. They, like me, have the best interests of the children at the forefront of their minds. We have valued their advice. Over to you, Alex.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Good afternoon. Our culture binds us together, but we have to embrace radical change for the health of our nation. On Friday, the Villa Marina, Cinema and Gaiety Theatre closed for the foreseeable future. Shows have been postponed and the Guild has been cancelled. All Manx National Heritage sites have closed. Shenigas Dhu and other important Manx festivals will not go ahead. And yet performers are already proposing safe outdoor events to keep our culture alive. Many sporting activities have ceased and planned competitions and events have been cancelled. On the advice of public health, the NSC and all regional pools will close from tonight. Due to this, I have to announce that the Manx Youth Games, which was due to be held on Saturday the 16th of May, will not go ahead. The Isle of Man Sports Awards, which was due to be held on the 2nd of April, has also been cancelled. We are all anxious and fearful of what damage this virus may bring. But our young people are suffering the fear of their friends and families, their education and their future. We've been working with all the relevant exam boards to ensure a level playing field for our students and their UK counterparts. There will be no GCSE or A-level exams this year. Students should continue their studies and complete their coursework. And we will work with teachers to ensure that all our students get the grades they deserve and can achieve the next steps in their education. We will work to support the students at University College Isle of Man whose apprenticeships are threatened, and support those students from universities across who may not be able to return after Easter. But the health and well-being of our pupils, teachers and staff has to be our first priority. This week I met with all the head teachers and together we produced guidelines for how we would collectively deal with the threat to our island. As the current situation has unfolded, clearly more people are choosing to have their children stay at home and more staff are also self-isolating. Tomorrow, all the schools on the island will close from the end of the school working day. Doon will not open tomorrow due to acute staff pressure. Whilst the schools will be closed, the doors will remain open at our secondary schools and 9 selected primary schools. These will be available to the children of key workers and vulnerable children. Teachers have been working to move far more teaching resources online. Those children who currently receive free school meals will be catered for. We are also working with nursery providers to ensure provision for key workers is available. At a time of concern and anxiety, it is vital that we manage change and plan for the next weeks and months to bring everyone with us and leave nobody behind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alex. The Council of Ministers has also agreed, following clinical advice, that it is in the best interests of the Isle of Man to close the borders to all non-residents. The number of non-residents coming to the Isle of Man has dropped dramatically in the past week, but from 9 a.m. tomorrow, Monday the 23rd of March, only people normally resident on the Isle of Man will be able to enter the island, with checks being made at sea and airports. The only exceptions to this rule will be a small number of people who may be vital to keeping the island running or to the protection of life. These people will require prior clearance from the Chief Secretary and will be subjected to a careful set of proposals while they are on the island, and protocols, I should have said. People who are ordinarily resident will be able to return home. They will, of course, be required to adhere to the new law on mandatory self-isolation for 14 days, regardless of whether or not they have symptoms. The medical advice is now that we need to take more emphatic measures regarding social gatherings. As a result, the Council of Ministers has agreed that all pubs and clubs must close from midnight tonight. While they have the ability, or where they have the ability to do so, they will be allowed to offer a delivery service, but customers must not go onto the premises. For cafes and restaurants, we have also decided that they must no longer serve meals on the premises. We have, however, agreed that they will be able to offer a collection service as well as delivery. But we will be insisting that those cafes and restaurants who wish to offer this service put in place strict social distancing measures. If people do not follow this, we will have to reconsider this flexibility and to look at complete closure. We have also agreed that all gyms and other fitness centres must close from midnight tonight. As part of that, we will be closing the NSC in its entirety. I would like to talk about the economic impact of COVID-19. I cannot overstate the challenges this is likely to pose. Work is being led by the Treasury Minister, working closely with the Minister for Enterprise, on measures to support the economy and our workforce. There has been extensive consultation with business. Work on the package is currently being finalised. The Treasury Minister will be here with me tomorrow at 10 a.m. to make a full statement and answer your questions. I hope that you will be able to hold your questions on this important topic until then. Meanwhile, I would like to put on record my thanks to him and his officers. Before we take questions, a plea. We all need to do more. We need a wholesale change in our behaviour. We all need to take more seriously our individual responsibilities. If you think that you have COVID-19 symptoms, do not go to your GP or to the hospital. Stay at home and call the COVID 111 line. Health professionals will give you advice, and you've seen the success of that just in 2 days. But even if you do not have symptoms, you must make a change to your behaviour. This is no longer optional. Everyone needs to respect the rules on social distancing. Stop social gatherings. Do not have friends over for dinner. Do not go to any place where crowds gather. This is the moment for everyone to carefully consider whether any trip is necessary. If it is for something essential, such as shopping for food, then maintain the 2 metre rule, or 6 feet in old money. But if someone is within reach, then they are too close. We recognise that these new measures will put a strain on people, including on their mental health. Following careful consultation with our clinical experts, we have agreed that if you are not showing symptoms, and if no one in your household is showing symptoms, then you can go out for a walk or fresh air as long as you maintain a safe distance from anyone who is not a member of your household. If we feel this flexibility is being abused, we will have to review. On food shopping, I need to record my thanks to the food retailers for having taken steps to enable our most vulnerable to get what they need. There is plenty of food and other supplies for everyone. Freight is coming in and will continue to come in as normal. We need everyone to act responsibly. Buy only what you really need. If you do not respect the rules on social distancing, it is not just yourself that you are putting at risk. It could be our health professionals as you put at risk. It could be the key workers we need to keep our community safe. It could be your loved ones. It will certainly be the most vulnerable members of our society. On this, I would like to urge all those who are over 70, those with underlying health issues or pregnant women, to stay at home wherever this is possible. We need you to help us to help you. These will not be the last announcements we make. I know we will have further to go. I want to ensure that we do so in a controlled manner. We all love our island. We all need to do the right thing and slow the spread of COVID-19. If you can stay at home, please do so. If you absolutely need to go out, then keep your distance. Thank you. We will now take questions. Right, 3FM.
Yes, good afternoon. Rob Pritchard, 3FM. I'd just like to ask the Education Minister, with the news that these schools are set to shut and exams will be cancelled, I'd like to ask the Education Minister about how students doing their GCSEs and A-levels will be able to receive their grades in the coming months.
Certainly, Chief Minister, that's a very good question. What we want to do is emphasise to all students that we are working very closely with the exam boards, as is the UK government, to ensure that those students get the awards that they deserve so they can then progress on to further education. What we will be doing is working with all the various exam boards, looking at their coursework, looking at their predicted grades, and finding the right way of actually making sure that those students get to go to the next stage.
like to direct this second question to the Chief Minister or the Health Minister. Obviously, we know the measures that health officials are taking during these tests for coronavirus, obviously to keep themselves safe, keep others safe. But as we've seen in the last couple of days, the police have reported a lot more reports of people breaking self-isolation. Whether they're true or not, they're having to follow up on these. I'd just like to ask as well, what protection police officers have in the execution of their duty when they're following up these leads, just on the chance that someone who they do have to speak to may have the virus?
Okay. David, do you want to comment on that?
Yes, thank you very much for that, Rob. In relation to the police, where it is someone, it's the same rule as with health workers. If someone is showing symptoms, then they will be provided with the necessary PPE equipment in order to undertake those duties. So it's no different to health workers.
Okay. Alex, you wanted to come in with some questions, sir?
Quite simply for the Education Minister, why are schools staying open tomorrow?
The evidence is that the virus is on the island. We know that it doesn't necessarily affect children in the same way as it affects adults. And we made the pragmatic decision to wait until the end of school tomorrow to give parents the warning time, the actual ability to drop them off, make other arrangements for Tuesday. We've been working very closely with all the head teachers today to use their flexibility to do this at a time when their own staffing levels are falling because of self-isolation. So it's a pragmatic decision to ensure that nobody was accidentally dropped off at school and left alone.
If I can say, we've been learning from how others have handled this situation, and also you've got vulnerable children that will need looking after. The food for those children who are provided with food at their schools by the government, and also making sure that we understand who our care workers and who their children are, so that we can give out good information to enable the key people, that the key workers that need to carry on helping to look after us and help the island continue, that we have properly prepared them to know, so they know where their children go to, etc. It's a more controlled measure rather than just stopping it. And we've done this in working with the teachers, and I really do again thank the teachers for working with us on this and coming up with a solution. Right, Paul.
Paul Moulton, MTTV, probably for the Minister of Health. What more can you tell us about this person who's contracted the disease without being overseas? Because clearly people need to now know who it is. I know you've got all issues with giving names out, but it'll come out on social media within seconds, I'm sure, by now. Surely we need every possible way of finding people who have met that person. I mean, even the police would say their race, their age, and if they're male or female, wouldn't they? I mean, you get something more than just somebody's got it normally, but I know we're in difficult times or whatever, but shouldn't we all be now trying to find and locate people who have had contact with that person?
Well, I don't think it's, you know, for a witch hunt for go and finding those people. We have to do the checks to make sure. The most important thing is finding out who they've been with. Did they fly in on the island? So we then have to go through.
We don't know the person's name, do we? So
we do. But it's not for you personally to go and try and find out who was on the plane. This is what public health do. But of course, when we can give you the information, we will. But everyone has the right to their anonymity. Not everyone will want to post their sickness.
But they might want to post. They could post, right? They could post
now. We don't stop them. I personally wouldn't if it was me, but everyone handles it differently. If they wish to, that's their call. David, do you want to expand on that?
Yes, thank you, Chief Minister. Patient confidentiality is key. You referred to Paul. They could post on Facebook. They could. That's their own personal information. And they can, if they wish to share that, then that's down to them. But it is not for us to make the decision on whether that's shared. The trace back is done professionally. It is not for members of the public to be going out trying to do their own trace back. It is done in a professional and logical manner by public health.
So you cannot say male, female, and age.
So I cannot confirm any details other than what I already have, which it is someone who is self-isolating within the community. It is a mild case. All three of these cases, again, are mild. It does not require any hospitalisation or any hospital treatment. And they simply have to self-isolate until the symptoms pass.
Very clearly said that this is a person who's contacted it, presumably here, on the Isle of Man.
I am indeed, and that is why the situation today, as I've said at every press conference going along, I've been quite consistent on this, the moment we got a human-to-human transmission case on Ireland, the situation would change. The situation has changed, and that is what led to the announcements today.
Okay.
Chief Minister, good afternoon. What assurances can you give to parents of children about childcare arrangements now, particularly those who work in the service industry who can't work from home? Are there any provisions for childcare on the Isle of Man following this announcement today?
Well, I think it's best that the Education Minister gives you that announcement.
Yeah, I'd like to just confirm that whilst we're shutting schools, a lot of the other childcare facilities, particularly the private childcare facilities, will be continuing. We're working with nurseries again to ensure that those key workers who rely upon them still have access to them. And we're actually trying to look at the regulation of childcare to see if we can relax it to allow these people to get on with the incredibly important job they do to support our working population at a time of real need.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Minister. Josh Stokes, ITV. I'm just wondering if we could have a bit more insight into how social distancing can be enforced across the Isle of Man. Obviously, I know you're saying places are now closing, but people are still going to go outside and be around. I'm wondering if there's any kind of enforcement that's going to be put in place for people who are going to be out and about.
Well, obviously, I can't have police in every location on the Isle of Man making sure that you keep your social distancing. Obviously, anyone coming to the island who is having to isolate for the 14 days because they may have symptoms or they've just come off the boat or the plane, the police will have a record of who should be self-isolating. So they will be able to check. They will be able to check that if they speak to someone, you know, should you be here, they can instantly check on the database to see whether or not that person should be out and about. But it really is common sense. If we, as an Isle of Man nation, follow these rules on the isolation, we will come through this well. If people break the rules and regulations, as I've said in my speech earlier on, we are letting everyone down. That is how it is spread. It could be how you catch it. It could be how you give it to your friends or your vulnerable neighbour. So it's a call to everyone to be sensible. Yes, if we catch people blatantly violating this rule, we will go after them. We have the powers to fine or imprison. But it can't be just us having the police going around trying to catch people. Everyone should think now, it's on the island, we've had our first case of person to person rather than someone having to travel off island. It's in everyone's interests, no matter who you are, even yourself, if you're just a selfish person, to think, if I don't follow these rules, I could get it. And I'm sure they don't want to get it. So it has to be everyone taking responsibility for themselves and their fellow residents of the Isle of Man.
My second question is to the Health Minister. Health Minister, I just wanted to ask, really, we've had confirmed cases now and it's gone up to 5 now quite quickly, you could say, on the Isle of Man. I'm just wondering if you've got an idea of how many more confirmed cases you're preparing for over the next week or so, shall we say, it's just like a number that you're preparing for, you can expect to see over the next week, 2 weeks, whatever.
It's one of those questions, Josh, that's impossible to actually answer because we have tests outstanding. As I said when I spoke, 150 test results outstanding. Of those 150, it could turn out to be one, it could turn out to be 3, 4 more. What we are doing as a health service is we always prepare for worst case scenarios. I've spoken to you before about the planning going on in the health service. That planning continues, and in fact it shows why we needed to put that planning in place in the first place. Just following on from what the Chief Minister said, the key message from the Department of Health and Social Care was there in the Chief Minister's statement. It was, we need you to help us help you. That is the key message when it comes to self-isolation, social distancing. We need people to be able to help us to manage this. And as a community, we need to pull together in order that we can do that.
Do you think people will?
I have great faith in the Isle of Man community. I always have had. And as I've said at previous press conferences, I have been bowled over by the amount of individuals, organisations that have come forward to try and help. But now is the time for everyone in our community to step up to the plate. And if people do, then we'll be able to tackle this.
June, if you'd like to come on then, Alex. If I could just add to that, there's been an awful lot of fake news going around. I got an email today saying there's numerous coaches going around the island. Well, they might have been around the island days ago, but they've all left the island. They were here before we brought in the 14-day ruling on people coming to the island. So I've just asked people to be responsible in what they're posting on social media, because is it true? Is it factually correct? Or is someone down the road giving you a half-garbled message? That's how we panic people, and we've got to be sensible about this. So there's a clear one. Three coaches, someone said, on the Isle of Man today, absolutely disgraceful, straight off the boat. Well, absolute rubbish. Three coaches have gone back. They were there on the island already when we announced it. That's fake news, folks. And we just got to be careful that we, as an island society, are responsible for the... this is for the people out there listening to this, that they are responsible with what they post, because it's only upsetting people who will get really... There are some people who are isolated, living on their own, seeing these postings, which are totally untrue, and getting really upset about it. So those people who are doing social media, social postings on Facebook, etc., please, can they think twice before they put a posting that they may have no clue as to whether it's true or not? Dewan.
Thank you, Chief Minister. The first question really is for the Health Minister. He said that the cases we have at the moment are mild and those patients are self-isolating at home, which is obviously good news that they don't require hospital. How prepared is Nobles Hospital? Because you're obviously planning, you always plan for the worst case scenario. And are you at a stage where you will be looking for retired professionals to come back? Are they on standby in case they are required?
Okay, David.
Taking the last point first, if I may, Ewan, in terms of the retired health professionals coming back, yes, that is already underway. It's been underway for quite a substantial period of time now. We've been putting in place the various indemnity cover they need, because obviously they're no longer practicing health professionals, which has taken some time. But yes, those plans are now very well advanced. And in relation to the Nobles Hospital preparation, you'll remember Dr. Ransom, our medical director, was here yesterday, and she explained about what was going on in wards 1 and 2. That is part of the preparations, and also ICU as well has been undertaking preparations. So we are prepared. The department has been preparing basically since February, that we may well have had confirmed cases, and that preparation is now paying off.
Thank you. And second question, probably for the Chief Minister.
Yeah.
He mentioned obviously that bars, cafes and things will be closing, mm-hmm. permitted to do takeaway food. We had somebody raise concerns with us today about the enforcement of the health standards. While they were stood in a queue this very lunchtime, people were stood a couple of metres apart, but when they come to pay, cash was handed, no gloves were worn, and all the condiments, such as the ketchup, the mayonnaise, was all there for everybody to put their hands all over. Will the Public Health Department be out and about ensuring that people are following these hygiene guidelines?
Thanks, Joe. That's a really good point, so thanks about that. Yes, we will ensure that spot checks are made. We'll also be having police going around. We'll be having, obviously, people reporting it back to us. We are trying to help the people that may... Not everyone is a cordon bleu chef, let's be honest. And if they're used to buying takeaways, then I'm fine with that. But we have to be sensible about this, folks. If people abuse it, and it could be a way of spreading it, then we will have to stop it. So we are genuinely trying to be as helpful as possible here, but ensuring that we don't allow this to cause the spread. And if people do the 6 feet or the 2 metres, however you like to work in, whether it's feet or metres, then that will work. Otherwise, we might have to say, right, no one can go to pick up food, and it'll just have to be people dropping off food orders to people's houses, and that will obviously slow down the availability with people doing delivery service, and then they will have to be sensible. They will have to deliver it and walk away, and obviously as much payment by credit card is going to be key on this one. But thank you very much. Alex, I think you wanted to come in.
Sorry, Education Minister, I've got my breath back now.
So it's for the Education Minister.
Education
Right, Alex, would you like to take over?
Just some clarity, you said there were 9 schools going to be open tomorrow. Just wondering what exactly they'll look like, what will be going on in terms of functions, and what protections are going to be in place for teachers who are still on staff there.
Yeah, that's a very good question. As I said at the outset, the safety of staff and pupils is our priority. The 9 primary schools are the ones that have all the facilities for those children who may have special educational needs, and we need to make sure that those facilities are still available. It means that those children of key workers and vulnerable children may not be going to their usual school. They may be going to the nearest school available. And we'll be working all this out over the next 48 hours with all the head teachers, who've been incredibly supportive. We'll need to transfer staff to work in different locations. We'll need to make sure that the support staff are working in different locations. But there is the will to get this right, because, as I said, we do not want to leave those children behind. We want to make sure we can still look after them to allow those key workers to carry on presenting to work and providing the frontline essential services that we all need.
OK, Tim, did you have one more? Did you put your hand up?
I haven't asked one yet. I'm going to use this mic because it looks a bit crowded over there, and I'm taking on board the social distancing requests. But we've had reports, and again a chance to shoot down fake news if it is, of camper vans at Glen Willen. I've seen cars coming in from the south of the island with families packed in them. People don't seem to be getting this social distancing message out there. How, as a government, are you going to really reinforce how important that is? I know through these press conferences, one avenue, but the message just doesn't seem to be getting through somehow.
Well, you hope it is. Most people, I think most sensible people, it is getting through, but not everyone, sadly, is sensible. For example, yesterday, the Alaman newspaper's courier came through your letterbox, and on that was the cover page was all about COVID-19 and what to do. Obviously, we're doing social media, where we're doing adverts on the radio stations on a regular basis. We can only do so much, and I would hope that everyone listening to this gets the opportunity to discuss it at a distance from their neighbours, but pick up the phone. You know, if you've got an elderly parent living on their own, or a neighbour living on their own who you think might just not have heard, then pick up the phone and just let them know that what's being done and the rules and regulations that they need to follow, or go on our website. So we're doing our absolute best, and if anyone has an area that we haven't thought, then I'm happy to look at that.
Getting inundated with questions, it's difficult to pick them out, the two we're going to put, but the other area...
Well, I have said, because this is key, the significant announcements today, that I would allow more, though I do have another meeting to go to, which is very important.
I think all meetings are at the moment, aren't they? The other concern, I think, is now with shopping, going to the supermarket, because they're going to be the areas maybe of the greatest congregation, the greatest gathering of people. Are supermarkets being cleaned, the shelves, the floors? There's concern that they haven't got enough time because they're so busy turning stock round that they're not actually maybe cleaning as well as they should be.
Well, I have to personally say I haven't had a chance to go into a supermarket, though I did.
I made it earlier this afternoon, first time in a week.
I did manage to go down to Marks and Spencer's a couple of days ago and to see that there was a good supply of food on the shelves when I went down there. So I can't really comment from a personal perspective, but of course, as a government, we have been speaking to them, and they have been very, very helpful. All of our island food retailers have been really caring and wanting to ensure that the vulnerable people on the Isle of Man get their supplies. I am sure they will be carrying out regular cleaning, but I'll maybe ask David to come in and just clarify what's expected.
Thank you, Chief Minister. As you can imagine, I've had quite a few conversations with retailers, and the retailers are taking their responsibilities exceptionally seriously. You'll have seen in the press that all the big retailers in the UK have been issuing guidance on what they're doing, how they are keeping their stores clean, how they've done reduced opening hours in order to be able to do so. That is no different here in the Isle of Man. The retailers realise they have a responsibility to fight this just as much as anyone else, and I would actually like to thank them for the engagement they've had, both with public health and the wider Department of Health and Social Care.
Thank you.
Paul, did you want to come in?
Yeah. The drawbridge is coming up now. Fly flying services, you know, a grounding across the world now. If a point comes when there is no airline services, will people who are coming back to home from all around the world, basically, I know people are coming in, will they still have access? Will the steam packet still allow that? And can people still leave the Isle of Man but they have to self-quarantine on the way back? Do you see a point, in other words, when the drawbridge completely goes up?
Yeah, I see where your point's coming from, Paul. Obviously, we've got probably 1,000 of our young people away at universities who will be coming back in the near future. I think if you're going to leave the island, unless your trip is absolutely necessary, you shouldn't. Simple as that, because you do not know when. You know, I give you everything that we know, the latest thinking when we do these presentations, but you can see how fast, I mean, people complain he's saying fast and fluid again, how quickly we have to make decisions. So if you are prepared to leave the island to go somewhere where coronavirus is maybe at a greater presence, do not be unreasonable when we say, if we have to say in the future, I'm sorry, but no one, for a period of 6 to 12 weeks, no one can come onto the Isle of Man unless it's an emergency worker, say the power station, a specialist part in the gas turbine has broken or something. That's the only sort of person that we would allow back, so there would be no exceptions. So if people think they can just continue to go on and off the island and quarantine for 14 days and that's how they want to live their life, well, that's a gamble they are taking. We've said no to anyone who's not a resident of the Isle of Man. We would encourage our young people, if they want to come home, to come home. They were coming home anyway. Now is the time that they would be coming home for the end of term. But I cannot give any guarantee that in the future we do not. Obviously, the boat will continue to sail, food will continue to come on, but we have plans in place that, worst case scenario, we would obviously have to ensure that we may have to stop people. But at this moment in time, we have put clear practices in place for the 14 days isolation of people coming to the island, but from now on, they will only be residents of the Isle of Man. And whilst technically you could say that some of our university students aren't residents, they will obviously be allowed back. Okay, thank you, young lady. And I'm afraid I'll take Tim and then I've got to go to my next meeting.
Jess Ward from Isle of Man Newspapers.
Hi, Jess.
We've heard quite a lot of concerns from teachers and parents who are saying that they have not received enough support for their students in terms of not getting posters about what coronavirus is and how to wash their hands, why they're washing their hands, that sort of thing. And they're also, certainly from primary schools, not having anyone who is trained in mental health to go in and speak to the children and go through their sort of fears too. So I'm just wondering, in terms of these 9 schools now, what are you going to be providing in terms of those sort of things?
Right, well, I'll bring in Dr. Anser. I'm surprised about the hand washing because I personally checked myself. I've spoken to the schools that I know are hand washing trials going on with their young people, and they've all said, yes, I've had a couple of emails about a week, 10 days ago about this, but I haven't had anything recently. So, Alex, you might want to expand on that.
Certainly. Thank you very much for your question. It has been an issue, obviously, always getting young people to wash their hands and carry out hygiene. It was something, even at the beginning of last week, that we emphasised the schools to use the public health posters that were available to try to emphasise hand washing as the simplest measure. We do have issues, you're quite right, in terms of hand sanitizers, but what we're trying to do now that we're consolidating the schools is really centre that hygiene in terms of providing any protection that those schools need. In terms of mental health services, again, I think students across the board are under an awful lot of stress, and so the Department of Education are working with the Department of Health and Social Care to ensure that those mental health facilities are there, that we can deal with those anxieties, not just for the students here, but those Isle of Man students who may be coming back from university over the next week, not knowing their future, not knowing whether they will return at the end of Easter. So it is a very good point, and we will be making a real emphasis on looking after these people.
And I'm also thinking of the children now that schools are closing. They're going to go into self-isolation, yes. And they might not have been equipped or given the right tools to kind of go through all these emotions that they're feeling. So I'm wondering, how are you going to do that? Is there going to be any online counselling for them?
Indeed. I mean, the Department of Health and Social Care have already got online counselling for young people that was set up several months ago. And I'm not sure the Health Minister can comment on the package that's being put in for both young people and older people during a time of real stress. But one of the other things that we'll be doing, that some of the schools will still be open, and they'll have lists of pupils that they can contact by phone, contact by Skype, and support at home. And so even though the schools are closing, the doors are open, and that contact and that ability to reach out to those pupils will still remain.
Do you know where they can access that, just off the top of your head, so they can have a look at that?
So online, it's the one we've already publicised, which is the Cruth, that they can access. And obviously, education will be putting out information in relation to the schools and the contacts there very shortly.
My other question...
I think also the Minister mentioned in his speech to you that teachers would be doing work from home, and we need to look at how we come up with IT, teaching methods to help if that has felt necessary. But I think the questions you're asking clearly shows why just shutting a school with only a short notice is not a good thing to do, and why having the school tomorrow and then closing it is a far more balanced measure for all, really, to try and look after the vulnerable in our society.
My other question is to do with teachers and industrial incident. You know, have you got teachers' support at the moment, and has that been resolved?
I very good question. During the last 2 weeks, we've had lots of discussions with the teaching unions, all of them, and we've had a lot of help from Treasury and from the Office of Human Resources. A deal was put on the table. Unfortunately, we couldn't get all the unions to agree to it. Those unions, obviously at a time of crisis, as we've got at the moment, have agreed to call off some of the actions they were taking, but we haven't resolved their underlying problem. We now have to look at this problem and deal with this and come back to that at a future point.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, and before I bring in Tim for the final one, can I also say I got a lovely letter from one of the unions, teaching unions, who clearly wasn't going to make an issue, whilst this situation was going on, they were wanting to work with us as a government to look after the young people of the Isle of Man, and of course look after their members too. And for that, I am very grateful that no one has tried to use this situation. And it was a genuinely lovely letter to get at a really tough time. Tim.
Yeah, one analogy put to me was that people are going in and being really disappointed when they can't pick up goods because the shelves are empty, and made the point that for the poor and vulnerable, that's how they feel every day of their lives. So my question really is, how much care, how much reassurance can you give to the vulnerable in our society, people with learning disabilities, special needs, etc.? Because I think we need to think of them, obviously, at this time.
Yeah, and that's why we are keeping the schools open, to ensure that those young people who have special learning needs, the 9 primary schools that are specifically being kept open, all have that teaching facility. And that's why we've done so much thought into what schools do we keep open, what schools do we close, and obviously the secondary schools have those facilities too. And as a wider group of people, we are obviously working to ensure, and with the third sector, we can't do this on our own, working with the public to look after vulnerable people, working with the third sector, the charities, to help come up with schemes to look after the vulnerable. We all know as a collective nation who they are, and it's that thing of working together, the community working together to look after these vulnerable people. David, did you want to add anything from the social care?
I've just done my bit, Chief Minister, about the charities and the third sector.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming. I'll see you tomorrow at, I think we said, 10 o'clock, where the Treasury Minister will give you a lengthy update on the proposals put forward to help businesses affected and people affected by this outbreak. Thank you all very much.
So there we have it, the Chief Minister retiring away with the Education Minister and Health Minister, and they're off into further meetings, but a whole raft of measures that have come in this evening that are definitely going to change the way we live our lives and conduct ourselves in the coming days, weeks and months ahead. And with that, I'll just mention we will be having a news at 5 and 6 and 7 this evening, this Sunday evening, just to bring you all those details. So let me hand you back to Broadcasting House.